Hey, it's finally a Friday, and we welcome you into Gwen and Chris. Happy weekend to everybody out there. We kick it off with another edition of the Gwen and Chris program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Phoenix, Arizona, where the Padres play the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios, 97.3 The Fan, number one sports talk station in San Diego. We welcome you to it and get rolling. Headed towards about 5:30 this afternoon, and then Sam Levitt checks in with the Padre pregame show, 6:30, a little after that tonight. The Padres will take on the Diamondbacks, Tony, in search of a third consecutive win, trying to put completely behind them that five-game losing streak and start this road trip off on a good note.
Yes, indeed. Certainly would be in their best interest to continue to try to keep winning.
Yeah.
They're catching, they're coming into this Diamondback series where, you know, still some question on when Gallen will throw, if he'll throw in this series. You won't see Merrill Kelly. You are getting a Carroll that is not swinging the bat well.
Corbin Carroll, eight. Yeah, he's really struggled.
Batting eighth in this lineup today.
Yeah, so, interesting.
You know, you there's some things that at least having 1-2 straight and throwing the ball better and Dylan Cease on the mound, there's some things going their way at least to set this game up. But, you know, obviously you got to go out and you got to execute. You got to do things to win. But they're just trying to continue what they kind of started in the last two games.
Yeah, and you talk about good fortune, and you know what, the season goes along, and I think we remember the bad fortune where you say, oh, that's unlucky, or yeah, we have to travel, you know, so far, and the other team's already sitting at home, and that's unlucky. But yeah, you're right. I think, frankly, this is, you know, a good timing, because when you look at this Diamondbacks team, they really have four superstar ace type of pitchers on the roster. You mentioned Gallen. You mentioned Merrill Kelly. They also, you know, added Jordan Montgomery, and right, they added Eduardo Rodriguez, who's still not off the injured. My point is, the Padres aren't going to have to face any of those four guys this weekend. When you play Arizona later in the season, you could end up facing all three or four. So,
right,
you'd like to take advantage of it. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy against Slade Ciccone, who's the young guy starting tonight for Arizona. He's got a 1-1 record. He's got a 2.25 ERA in a short sample size. And frankly, this is a Diamondback team that expected it to be doing a whole lot better than the 14-18 record they have right now. You mentioned Corbin Carroll. He's all the way down to eighth in the lineup. Really been struggling. You know, most of the names you remember from last year's World Series run are there. They've added, you know, Jock Peterson, and they've added Eugenio Suarez to it, but it's not working yet for Arizona. Injuries are part of the reason why, but yeah, we can't be concerned about them. Padres, you mentioned this on the telecast the other day, Tony, but it looks, you know, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, we all gamble responsibly around here. But Manny Machado heating up seems like it's something that's going to happen soon. Wednesday was really a good sign. I know he had only one hit in four at-bats, but he had another that left the ballpark and was brought back. You know, Manny starts swinging it like that, the Padres could get hot just because of him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the fact of the matter is Manny is the guy. He is the engine that makes everything go, and when he is going, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it matters less what a couple other guys are doing, mm-hmm, right? Because he's that good, and so it looks like, you know, I've been wrong on this before, so I'm hesitant. But
yeah, I know.
He looks good, and you know, the ball is coming off well. He's hitting the ball, you know, well, that whole series against Cincinnati. So, you know, if that is a sign of things to come, watch out. I mean, listen, it's a slow burn, but I mean, he's up, you know, he's got his average up to 250. He's over 300 on base finally. And, you know, so things are clicking up, man. And, you know, I just think if he gets going, you know, he's as I said on the telecast, he's the type of guy that can carry a team for a month. Those big moments, remember the controversial call with Schilt deciding to put the base runner back in and not take the run, and then he comes up hit the bases clearing double. I mean, those are the type of things you like to see, and he's starting to get more opportunity.
Padres are ready for this series, man. They're getting the lineup in early today. Just came down. Profar again will be in the leadoff spot. Fernando, Jake Cronenworth will be on our program a little bit later on, our Friar Friday interview. Manny is hitting cleanup. Xander in the number five spot. Jackson Merrill. I don't know if this means anything, Tony, but Jackson Merrill's back out on the road where he's hitting .438, which is really interesting compared to his home batting average, which is nowhere close to that. Luis Campusano hit seventh. Ha-Seong Kim. And Tyler Wade will be at third base tonight with Manny DHing. I know there's been a lot of, you know, people speculating that Donovan Solano might be with the team soon. This has not happened. I don't really know how much fire there is to that smoke, but you know, we're not going to see that yet. I'm actually fine with Tyler Wade and Eggy Rosario trading off right now. I think they're contributing fine, and the bottom of the order really hasn't been the issue anyway, Tony. The issue's been the star player is not quite superstarring. What are you seeing from Fernando Tatis Jr. right now? If anything, that, you know, either A, he's going to get things rolling, or what's causing him to slump a little bit, you think?
I don't know that he's slumping. Okay. I just don't think he's getting hits. I think he's hitting the ball hard, like, a lot. And, you know, it's just dumb luck that, you know, you heard AJ mention this yesterday on the
AJ
show.
AJ Cassadel, yeah.
Yeah, the BIP with the
BAPIP.
What is it? BAPIP. that is
batting,
you know,
average
expected,
on balls in play.
Right, that and, you know, his expected batting average look good, and it's because he's barreling up a lot. He just hasn't had a ton of luck. That's why his numbers look a lot different, right? I mean, he's hitting .233, but you know, he's up over, you know, .426, which is nowhere where he should be, right? But he is, you know, he is displaying, you're seeing the ball come off, right? You know, he's I think he's in a good spot where he can get hot and take off. But you know, I think the guy to start watching it is Jackson, because the league starting to make its move on him to make their adjustment. Because, you know, for the young guys, as we've been saying the whole time, there's going to be a time where they have to adjust. Are we watching that happen right now? And I think, you know, over these next couple of weeks, you're going to start to find out.
Yeah, Jackson Merrill, obviously, after the scintillating start, did not have a great homestand, to be sure. As a matter of fact, I don't believe he had a hit on the homestand. So, you know, a little ofer for Jackson Merrill. This isn't anything we didn't expect to happen, but hopefully he's back more comfortable out on the road where he's, like I said, he's torn it up so far this year. I have no problem with this. This is what I expect for a young player. And, you know, the question is how quickly can he get out of it? And hopefully that starts tonight for him. So let me ask you about Ha-Seong Kim. What are you seeing with Ha-Seong Kim? I don't know that Mike Schilt's seeing anything in particular, but he has dropped him from 5 to 6 to 8 in the order. Tony, yeah. What are your thoughts on Ha-Seong so far?
I don't know, honestly, what's going on with Ha-Seong. He seemingly doesn't look very comfortable in the box right now. And, you know, one of the things to me last year about Ha-Seong is, I mean, when he got to the hitting position, like, there wasn't a whole lot of movement. Like, he got there, and it's like his swing just was free and easy. It does seem like he's unsettled in the box, and so there's, like, movement when he's swinging. And I think that it has its impacts in more than just, you know, the way you hit the ball, how you see the ball, and, you know, your pitch selection, things of that nature. But I think he's been dropped down, obviously, because, you know, you're trying to relieve pressure at that point by moving a guy down in the lineup, and you're hoping that by doing that, it'll have him settle and he'll be able to kind of get back to where he was. But yeah, he's another guy, right? I mean, you know, Fernando, Manny, Ha-Sung, based on last year, obviously Xander. They all are gonna. They gotta. You got. They'll have to be more productive as we move into the, you know, the bigger, the thicker part of the season, because the team is, you know, dependent on that.
Yeah, and there's no question. Kim, 2 for 22 on the homestand with a couple of singles is all, and they need him on base. He makes things happen on base. He's got 7 steals, but hasn't had one since the first game of the Colorado series on April the 22nd. It's nice to see Kim get out there and start getting dirty and taking some bags, and has helped kickstart this offense a little bit. But you know, we'll see. Against the young right-hander tonight, hopefully they can get on him and give Dylan Cease a little help as the Padres try to make it 3 in a row. And, you know, look, after the 5-game losing streak, that's nice, because it seemed like everything was getting away from the Padres there for a little bit, but they have seemingly brought it back, and with these 2 wins over the Reds, and hopefully they'll carry it through on this road trip. And they have played better on the road so far this year. In fact, you look at their last 3 road series, I know they only split in Colorado, but before that they took 2 out of 3 in Milwaukee. They took 2 out of 3 with the Dodgers. So, I mean, those are all good results. And, you know, we'll see if the Padres can keep it rolling here tonight in Arizona, which has historically been a tough place for them to play. As mentioned, Jake Cronenworth will be on the show today. We already owe Jake a huge thanks from us to him because we, to nobody's fault, and if it was Scraby's fault, you know I would let you know. But it wasn't this time. It was a trick of the gods, whatever. We could not get a clean feed for Jake's interview from Arizona. And actually, Scraby scrambled around to try to make it work and did a hell of a job. But Jake had to wait around.
Yeah, he did.
And
really,
wait around. Yeah, yeah. And wait around.
While we're going, what's wrong with the phones? And I can't believe the phones are this bad.
It was unbelievable. What did you do?
He was hearing all of this.
It was unbelievable. But he was so nice to hang in there and give us, you know, 7-8 minutes that you'll get to hear on the show here in a little bit.
Tony got real good at asking his one question.
Yeah, poor Tony was asking the same question over and over again, and Jake could not hear
for
it.
For whatever reason, everybody could hear everybody.
It was me.
Yeah,
it was me.
Jake could not hear Tony.
He couldn't hear
reason.
Me because you guys could hear me.
Yeah,
I could hear everybody involved.
Yeah.
He just couldn't hear me. So once we figured that out, I was like, you know what? Let me bow out. We still want this interview, and Chris took care of it from there.
Well, but you asked a hell of a question, Tony. And by the time you asked it for the 4th time, you really had it. You had it wired, but.
I had it locked in.
You did. But ahead of time, a big thanks to Jake for putting up with all that. And, you know, that's the kind of guy he is. So we appreciate that. So all of you will be able to hear him on Friar Friday. Mike Schilt was on with the morning show. You'll hear some of that a little bit later. We got a really good countdown for you today on Friar Friday and the rest of our regular segments as well. It's all coming up. The Lakers are going to need a new coach. We'll talk about some NBA stuff. The Knicks and Sixers battled it out tooth and nail, and the fans are now at war in Philly. I shouldn't use that word in this day and age, but they are at each other's throats, at least. Let's put it that way. We'll talk a little bit about the goings-on in the NBA last night and what's ahead for the Lake Show as Gwynn and Chris gets underway on 97.3 The Fan.
2:20 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. The Odyssey app lets you jump to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan. While you're listening to 97.3 The Fan, you can see what you missed and click to listen on demand. Missed a guest, a feature, or if something crazy, you know, that Scraby usually does from earlier, we've got you covered. Download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, and tap earlier today to get started. And a few things. We'll get into some of what Mike Schilt talked to our guys, Ben Woods, earlier today, but a few things in the NBA. Darvin Ham is no longer the Laker head coach. He has been relieved of his duties. 2 years, one Western Conference final, one exit out of the first round. Chris, his duties, he has been relieved of his duties.
Yeah, I'm tired of this, honestly. And again, I don't know all the ins and outs. Maybe LeBron, you know, and he didn't get along or something. You know, maybe there was issues behind the scenes that I don't know about. But in lieu of that, I'm in general tired of coaches who are successful getting fired because they're not, quote, successful enough. Now, you're a Laker fan, so you may feel a little differently coming on the heels of just having lost in this playoff. But they got to the Western Conference Finals last year. They were within one tick of the NBA Finals. They got back to the playoffs again this year. I think Rob Pelinka has done a worse job than Darvin Ham did of putting a team together around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But that's just me from afar. It seems like in this day and age, you either win the championship or you fire the coach. And it's just not realistic for everybody to win the championship. That said, your thoughts as a Laker fan on moving on and finding somebody different?
I mean, I think it's hard to make the argument you're making because if Darvin Ham gets credit for getting to the Western Conference Finals, and I guess Pelinka does too because he's the one who made all the trades to get them to that point last year. But I just think, you know, unfortunately, we are in an era of sports because I don't know that this just pertains to the NBA or the Lakers for this. I think this is kind of what we see across all sports now. And I'm not sure I understand why. Is it because the scrutiny publicly is heavier than it used to be? I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not a fan. I think there's something to be said about continuity and, you know, maybe letting it breathe a little bit in situations, but that's not our reality. I don't know of very many situations where you get that. It just seems like everybody's willing to make a knee-jerk reaction. Now, I won't blame this, you know, because the easy thing to do is say, oh, LeBron didn't want him. But everything I've seen, read, him and LeBron were fine.
Yeah.
I think, you know, sometimes these are situations that have nothing to do with the player, you know. Jeannie Buss is the head honcho on this, and it was said that she was, you know, was putting people on the clock as well. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, if this is a good move or a bad move. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in. Apparently Mike Budenholzer is one of the names that has already surfaced. He's certainly won an NBA title and was a very good coach before Milwaukee decided to move on from him right after all the success they had. So I think this is part of the sports culture now in all sports. I don't necessarily agree with it. We'll see what happens with my Lakers.
Chicago Bulls should have fired their coaches 5 years ago then if the Lakers are firing theirs based on this result. I mean, you know, be careful what you wish for because you could always be the Bulls, you know. So that's what I say to this this move by the Lakers. But, you know, we'll see if it works out. I know that J.J. Redick seems to be a very hot name. And then a lot of people keep saying Tyronn Lue, but Tyronn Lue just signed an extension today with the Clippers, so he will not be going anywhere.
They wanted to sign an extension. They got that done. You know, it's interesting. Everybody keeps talking about J.J. I don't know how I'd feel about that. Like, him and LeBron have a podcast together. It's just like...
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Like, that just feels...
That seems a little bit like strange bedfellows to me.
Yeah, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But nonetheless, the last thing in the NBA is this Pat Bev situation. I mean, he completely lost his cool and fired a basketball at a fan. I only saw the clips. I haven't read anything or seen anything in terms of what exactly that started that. But I know firing a ball at a fan, not it. That's not what you should be doing. And then afterwards, his frustration continued to mount as he decided to pick on a particular female reporter that was not deserving of his heat. I mean, it wasn't as though he yelled at her, but he wouldn't answer any questions from her because she didn't subscribe to his podcast. And it's just some wild stuff. Like, I get being frustrated, but, you know, ultimately you would like to see pros handle it better, especially one of his, you know, experience. It didn't go well for him. He did, to be fair, he did issue an apology, not just issue. He called the young lady. I think, I don't know if she's a young lady or not. I'm going to go with that, though.
she is a lady. We know that. She's not young.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, she's the lady, and apologized to her personally. So, I mean, he did take that, but, you know, that was tough to watch, quite frankly.
Yeah. Not great. The reaction of the Knicks and the Sixers fans after last night's game wasn't exactly easy to watch either. I mean, you know, look, I mean, they're just, they're going to hate each other. I get it. But, you know, the Knicks won, the Sixers lost. I don't know which fan base was angrier after it was all over. I mean, the Knicks fans were screaming, you know, at the top of their lungs, hating on Joe. Yeah, Joel Embiid. And Sixer fans are like, what are you angry about? We're the one. I mean, you know, we hate you. You hate us. And anyway, the rivalry will continue there.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a real rivalry, but, you know, once the Knicks fans went up into Philadelphia and took over the place, I think that's this is going to be, we're going to be talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's going to matter if it's the Knicks and 76ers at this point. I think this is going to trickle over elsewhere.
Yeah, it could be. I will say this. If the NBA winds up with the finals of the Knicks and the Timberwolves, that doesn't maybe sound great on the surface, but I would love to see Jalen Brunson and Anthony Edwards go.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, I would.
Brunson has been, he's been the standout guy in the playoffs if Anthony Edwards hasn't been. These two guys are really, really exciting and fun to watch. So
Go ahead, Tony.
I mean, if we're being like honest, I mean, we got like new faces of the NBA in remaining in this playoff run. KD's not in there, LeBron's not in there, Steph Curry's not in there, and so that really leaves a playoff space where we're only going to be talking about Ant Edwards. We're going to be talking about Brunson. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the Clippers in Dallas, but that looks like it's heading Dallas's way. So we're going to be talking Luka. Like, these guys, we're about to have a whole new storyline moving forward because the big dogs have been eliminated.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because I thought the NBA cheated to let the big dogs win all the time.
I'm telling you, Chris, could we send a memo? Can we get one? Like, could please go back to that? Because our teams were in the luxury.
Yes, we got the Bulls and the Lakers in the finals all the time back in the days when the NBA really did cheat. But unfortunately, they apparently cheat no longer.
They decide to stop doing it some reason.
Yeah, I guess so.
I was going to say what Tony did say, which is I would be excited to watch two new teams in the finals. I would be much more willing to turn it on.
You got a chance for that to happen. You got a chance for that to happen, although Denver's going to have a say about it for sure.
Yeah, I forgot about those guys.
Yeah,
but, you know, I mean, there really are fun young players. I mean, we mentioned if Oklahoma City is able to make it, you get SGA would be on a national stage, and people get to see how good that guy is.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff happening for the NBA right now.
No doubt about it. All right, Mr. Scraby, I think we don't have enough time to get into
Mr. Schilt will wait.
Mr. Schilt.
Yes.
Hopefully you said Schilt.
I did. I always say Schilt.
I know.
I mean, it's...
Dude, stop being so paranoid all the time,
man. No kidding, man.
It's not like we just come on air and openly curse all the time.
I know that, but I will get fired if that
Yes,
goes
I know
out.
You will, but this guy's been the manager of the Padres now for 7 months. We haven't messed his name up yet. Why is today going to be the day?
I don't know. I freaked out for a second.
Gosh. All right, let's get to break. Jake Cronenworth joins us when we return here on Friar Friday.
All right, make sure you stay tuned after the program today. Coming up around 5:30, the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show with Sammy Leavitt, superstar of the station. He'll be on right here to get you ready for tonight's game between the Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Chris Sello, Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Arizona. He and Jesse Agler will have the call tonight, as long as the bees stay away. Does this mean they'll just close the roof for sure, Tony, tonight?
Well, it's like, it was like 85 out there, so maybe they might already have it closed.
It's 85?
Yeah, dog.
Hey,
It's hot.
Hey, now.
It's not hot.
That's scorching.
So 85 is scorching?
No.
85 is not scorching.
Not for Phoenix, but it's scorching for me. I'm a comfy 70 guy, you know.
Are
like
you?
The rest of the... I've grown soft now that I've lived in San Diego all these years. 85 sounds a little hot to me.
Okay.
I take that back. It's 91.
Oh, see, even better. Or even worse. Depending on how you look at it.
And the real feel is 99, according to AccuWeather.
Okay, well, that is different.
And that is Arizona and Phoenix in a nutshell. No matter what degree it is, it just always feels hotter. So that's pretty normal. All right, Mike Schilt was on the morning show. We'll hear from him a little later on our program. A couple of Major League Baseball notes. Cubs ace Justin Steele may return from injury on Monday. We already know that Walker Buehler is going to be back for the Dodgers on Monday. But not all the news is good for pitchers. Texas's Nathan Eovaldi set for an MRI after he suffered a groin injury. Rangers could be without him for a little while. It's not been an easy go for the defending World Series champion so far this year, but then again, I don't think anybody really expected it would be. They're currently 17-15, but only a half game behind Seattle in the AL West. Bruce Bochy and company. Mm. The Guardians, the Guardians and the Orioles have the best record in the American League.
Yep.
How about that?
The AL West is going to be interesting, especially if it keeps playing like this, because that means like really all five of those teams. I mean, I don't know if the Oakland can keep it up, but
no.
All five of those teams are certainly in it right now.
Yeah, but Houston and the Angels Houston's playing a little better, but they're still 9 games below 500. The other interesting thing in baseball, real quick, tonight in L.A., you get a matchup of the heavyweights. Braves Dodgers open a series.
Oh, that's right.
At Dodger Stadium this weekend, so that a lot of eyes will be on that as Atlanta brings its 20-9 record into LA to face the 20-13 Dodgers. Milwaukee got its 20th win earlier today. How about our old friend Pat Murphy? You know, I think a lot of people thought as soon as the Brewers lost Craig Counsell to the Cubs, the Brewers wouldn't be there. Right now, Murphy beat Counsell on the Cubs today, and Milwaukee's got a 2-game lead in the division. So good for him.
I need everybody to do themselves a favor. Go get on John Boy and watch Chris Guccione, home plate umpire, and Pat Murphy go nose to nose, word for word.
When was this? Today? Or
this was like 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
This was like 2 days ago. I would love to have been able to just be around to hear a manager talk to an umpire the way I heard Pat Murphy, the things I heard him say.
Wow.
According to John Boy. I got to make sure.
Oh, your guy John Boy. He's the guy
that reads
lips, right?
Right.
Okay.
But it's heavy. Like there was some challenging going on in that bad boy right there.
Right. As good as David Bell between innings.
I'm watching
the other night.
Right now. Did he break his foot after he kicked that?
Yeah, that's the thing. David, I don't know if John Boy has a breakdown of that one, but that was just more David Bell going right.
Yeah,
off
he was
on
losing it. The umpire was sitting there.
These two are both going at it. They're two alphas too, so it's funny. It's kind of just if you get a chance, listen to the breakdown. It's kind of funny.
I may do that sooner rather than later. It sounds good. Jay Cronenworth is our Friar Friday guest today. As I mentioned earlier, we had some technical difficulties. Ultimately, we realized that we couldn't hear Jake, couldn't hear Tony. So you get me talking with Jake, but you still get Jake, and that's worth the price of admission. Really excited about our Friar Friday interview today. Padre first baseman and all-star Jay Cronenworth joins the program here on Gwynn and Chris. And Jay, good to have you kicking off a series in Arizona, but especially good to have you in the wake of a grand slam, you know, winning home run the other day against the Reds. You know, it's interesting in baseball, you're not allowed to, you have to turn the page. But when you have a day off after a grand slam game, are you able to enjoy it a little bit longer?
No, I mean, you know, it's you want to enjoy those moments and the successes and the wins of the team stuff like that. But, you know, when that new day hits, you kind of want to let it go because the next day is a new one and you want to, you know, try to get some more wins and celebrate those. So, you know, try not to reflect on it too much and just enjoy your day off.
Jake, in year two, moving from, you know, second base to first base, is there a part of you that feels more settled, and has that allowed you to kind of, you know, balance the focus level where, you know, you're not so much learning a new position?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you go through different positional changes, and, you know, I've done it a lot in my career, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, not that, you know, maybe I tried to hit like a first baseman last year. I tried to do something different. I was, you know, I always try to be the hitter that I am and try to, you know, stay in those walls and be productive that way. But, you know, I think I've just taken the mentality at first base is just, man, just go out there and have fun and play some really good defense and have some quality at bats.
You know, sticking with playing first base, I mean, it's come to my just, you know, watching games. When I see the center field camera view and an opposing player hits a ground ball to that side of the field, my mind automatically thinks base hit because I see the angle. And then you take it away. Is playing off of the line as much as you do, how much of that has been scouting and film, and how much is that you've been just more comfortable and trying to take plays away?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of started in the off season and, you know, looking at some different things and how I can take away some more hits and, you know, give our pitchers a break that, you know, maybe a guy put a good swing on a ball and I can take away a hit in the four hole or maybe from a righty that, you know, kind of maybe hits a hard backside ground ball and talk with some guys in the analytics side and, you know, kind of more or less just where can I position myself to take more hits away and, you know, what can I do and where can I position myself to do that?
But you have to run like the Dickens to get over and cover first base sometimes.
Yeah, it's a little more running, which isn't great. You know, it's all right. It's worth it. That's for sure.
Jake Cronenworth is with us. Jake, there was so much talk about your off season and how much effort and care you put into, you know, rebuilding things and making sure you came back and have a successful season. Looking back on, you know, this off season, what do you think was the main couple of things maybe that have helped you get going and get back to hitting like you can?
Yeah. You know, I think it all started last year during the season, actually, you know, when I broke my wrist. You know, I think I said it in spring training in an interview, you know, you never want your season to end with an injury, but, you know, at that point in time, obviously it stunk because I felt like I was really turning things around, but, you know, I think it was a, you know, a blessing in disguise and, you know, had some time to really evaluate and kind of open up the hood of that car and really look at things and break some things down and put some new parts in there. And, you know, some things I did in the off season was a lot of mindset and kind of how I carry myself at the plate. And, you know, even before the game when I'm doing my research and, you know, kind of how I'm going to go up there and take my at-bats and, obviously, there were some mechanical things in there as well, and not to say those aren't important because they absolutely are. And, but I think, you know, the mindset and the approach that I've kind of built throughout the off season and taken into the year is probably the biggest.
Jake, I think your opinion means a lot to a lot of fans, and I'm just curious what you think about the makeup of this year's team, what you've seen through 34 games. And, you know, some areas that you think might be a little bit different from the makeup of last year's team that will hopefully get this team to where it wants to go in October.
Yeah, I mean, first things first is, you know, we have a really, really good group. You know, everybody's pulling in the same direction from the coaching staff, front office, to the players on the field. And, you know, every guy wants to win. And, you know, obviously we're going to go through some tough times. We're going to go through some really good times, but I'll say, you know, I think if this team can get hot, this could be, you know, a really special run that we go on when it happens. And, you know, I think you've seen, you know, flashes of us, you know, down late, you know, 8-0 against the Cubs, you know, some of the comeback wins we've had against the Dodgers and some of the other teams that we played. I think you see that in the offense and on the pitching side, you know, man, both sides of the ball. You know, the quality at-bats that we're throwing up there, 1-9, and, you know, not just 1-9 in the order, but 1-9 in the innings, no matter what the situation is. And, you know, the biggest thing is we're just giving ourselves a chance to win and never giving up. And I think that's, you know, something that's huge for this group, and we've really emphasized. And, you know, the pitching side, you know, they've kept us in a lot of games, and, you know, it's been really, really good so far.
Yeah, it's Jake Cronenworth's season's been great so far. I'll leave you with this one, Jake, and again, appreciate the time. And where were you, and how did you celebrate it when Harbaugh and company grabbed Michigan's national championship?
I was in Houston, row 15 on the goal line at the game.
Ah, there's your where were you? What yard line?
I was right on the goal line.
Goal line. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I got pretty fortunate. They scored every single touchdown in our end zone that we were sitting in. All the interceptions were coming back our way. I think outside of one, but that was awesome to see. And, you know, going to all the games I've been to and, you know, seeing that happen in person was really, really cool.
All-time Michigan man, Jake Cronenworth, and a great Padre as well. Hey, Jake, thanks so much for the time. Good luck on this road trip. We'll see you back in San Diego soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
And we appreciate Jake Cronenworth. As mentioned, we had some technical issues. Tony was asking the questions. Jake couldn't hear them. We finally figured that out. But by the time we figured that out, about 10 minutes had gone by, and he was nice enough to hang with us. Those guys are pretty busy before games, honestly.
Yeah.
They have a lot to do. I know that people think they just sit around. Got a lot of video.
Meetings.
A lot of workouts. Meetings.
Yeah.
Et cetera. The game is the fun part for those guys.
Yeah, the game is where they get to go, like, not actually work.
Yeah, go out and play. Go play. They call it play baseball.
Play ball!
Play ball. So have some fun. All right, that was Jake Cronenworth, our Friar Friday interview, and always appreciate Jake. I was thinking something during that interview.
Okay.
Is this crazy? You'd have to find a clip of our interviews with Bryce Miller, San Diego Union Tribune columnist.
Okay.
I think he and Jake Cronenworth sound alike. I think they have very similar deliveries, and I think their voices are similar.
I could see it.
All right. Well, I can hear it. I can't see it, but I can hear it.
I could hear it, but
so do a little, you know, study if you've got nothing else to do over there.
Get a
clip of Bryce Miller and a clip of Jake Cronenworth and see how similar they sound.
You know, that's the first thing on my off-season list.
First thing of your off-season.
Yes.
So we may get that sometime in November,
yeah,
is what you're telling me?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Tony is he's hopped on the bus to head on over to the ballpark. So we'll hear from him a little bit later on in the program, but right now he's en route with the team and the players heading from the hotel there in Phoenix right on down to I was going to say Bank One Ballpark, but that's old.
That's Bob, as they used to say, Bob.
Well, it's Chase Field now.
It's Chase Field, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hard for me to keep up. You know, there was a time when no stadiums were named after businesses.
I know, when Candlestick Park was Candlestick Park.
Yeah. Dodger Stadium is still Dodger Stadium, but now you can count on, you know, one hand basically the amount of ballparks and stadiums that only are named
Stadium,
the actual stadium that they are. Yeah, Yankee Stadium.
Fenway.
The Rose Bowl is still the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl is still the Rose Bowl.
I think although Wrigley in a roundabout way is a business name.
It's the gum.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if it was Phil Wrigley, but some guy named Wrigley.
Some guy named Wrigley.
I think it might have been Phil. I don't know where I got the Phil part from, but yeah, the Wrigley people who own the Cubs had the gum too.
I mean, what? How much money is Yankee Stadium missing out on? I don't know if they have, like, it's Yankee Stadium at Hal Steinbrenner Field or something like that.
Yeah, but it's not. There's no stadium name for it. You know, the first place ever to be named and have a name licensing agreement was the old Buffalo Football Stadium, which was named Rich Stadium.
Rich Stadium.
And Rich is a big food company in the Northeast. And they paid like $100 to have their name on the stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before anybody else got the idea to do something like that.
Good for them.
Arco Arena in Sacramento was among the first, as was the Great Western Forum for the Lakers and Kings.
Great Western Bank?
There's a bank, yes. Great Western Forum kind of had a good ring to it, actually, I felt.
Yeah, no, it sounds...
It actually sounded
all right.
It rolls
off the tongue. It's better than some of these
other
ones.
A lot of them don't roll off the tongue at all in any way, shape, or form, but now we've come to get, you know, expect it. That's just the way it goes.
You know, I'm looking at some of the stadiums without naming rights, and it's kind of funny. Oakland Alameda County Coliseum is still... It's right now no naming rights, I don't believe.
What is it? What? Well, if...
It was... McAfee Stadium when the Raiders played there.
Oh, yes. I do remember there being some sort of business name when the Raiders were there.
The Warriors played at Oracle, which was next door to the Coliseum.
The Warriors play in San Francisco now, don't
they?
Do they not?
Yes, they do.
I mean, Oakland basically is kind of, once the A's do officially pack up and go, that leaves Oakland barren, basically,
See,
right?
Adam and I were having this conversation, and yes, it does, but... The Warriors are just a BART ride away. You can get to watch a Warriors game from Oakland in 30 minutes.
So
I understand the Oakland pride of having the team there. I get all that. But I think they're okay because they can still see their team.
At least they have a game nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Oh, Camden Yards, Oriole Park, that's another one.
Camden Yards.
Camden Yard, I'm sorry.
It is Camden Yard at Orioles Park.
I guess so. We also have Nationals Park.
Nationals Park is not named?
That's what it says according to this website. Okay. Angel Stadium, I don't know if they've named that recently.
All right. So we do have more than a handful. We have two hands full.
Yes.
Of stadiums that are not named.
Yes, this article is from 2020, but...
So there's a chance that a couple of them have
Let
been,
me see if Angel Stadium's
picked up,
been named.
Picked up sponsors in the meantime.
It could have, but yes, as of 2020... That was it.
Have you ever gone to, have you ever bought or gone to a service, you know, a business because they had a name on a stadium? I don't think we do that, but the advertising works because the name gets out there.
Familiarity.
And then when you, you're familiar with the name when you do go to do business.
Yes.
Like you would do business at Chase Bank. Just because you've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know what I mean?
It's on the stadium. It's got to be okay.
It's got to be a real bank, yeah. So
I
used to always wonder about advertising, like stuff like that. You pay Joe Namath $1 million to use, you know, some sort of shaving kit.
See, I'm more willing to use
a product. I never went out and bought that shaving kit just because Joe Namath did.
I'm more willing to use a product that someone reps if I like that person. So the stadium naming rights doesn't really get to me. Because when I was growing up, it was Candlestick Park, then it was... 3Com, and then it was Monster Park, and then it was.
I don't even remember some of those iterations.
Yeah, it was all these weird companies.
Yeah,
Tyler says I still don't know what a Snapdragon is.
It's
a processor.
I don't know what a Snapdragon is either, but I know it's related. Really excited about our Friar Friday interview today. Padre first baseman and All-Star Jay Cronenworth joins the program here on Gwen and Chris. And Jay, good to have you. Kicking off a series in Arizona, but especially good to have you in the wake of a grand slam, you know, winning home run the other day against the Reds. You know, it's interesting in baseball, you're not allowed to, you have to turn the page, but when you have a day off after a grand slam game, are you able to enjoy it a little bit longer?
No, I mean, you know, it's you want to enjoy those moments and the successes and the wins of the team and stuff like that. But, you know, when that new day hits, you kind of want to let it go because the next day is a new one and you want to, you know, try to get some more wins and celebrate those. So, you know, try not to reflect on it too much and just enjoy your day off.
Jake, in year two, moving from, you know, second base to first base, is there a part of you that feels more settled and has that allowed you to kind of, you know, balance the focus level where you know you're not so much learning a new position?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you go through different positional changes, and you know, I've done it a lot in my career, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, not that, you know, maybe I tried to hit like a first baseman last year or I tried to do something different. I was you know, I always try to be the hitter that I am and try to, you know, stay in those walls and be productive that way. But, you know, I think I've just taken the mentality at first base is just, man, just go out there and have fun and play some really good defense and have some quality at bats.
You know, sticking with playing first base, I mean, it's come to my watching games. When I see the center field camera view and an opposing player hits a ground ball to that side of the field, my mind automatically thinks base hit because I see the angle, and then you take it away. Is playing off of the line as much as you do, how much of that has been scouting and film, and how much is that you've been just more comfortable and trying to take plays away?
It kind of started in the off season and, you know, looking at some different things and how I can take away some more hits and, you know, give our pitchers a break that, you know, maybe a guy put a good swing on a ball and I can take away a hit in the four hole or maybe from a righty that, you know, kind of maybe hits a hard backside ground ball and talk with some guys in the analytics side and, you know, kind of more or less just where can I position myself to take more hits away and, you know, what can I do and where can I position myself to do that?
But you have to run like the Dickens to get over and cover first base sometimes.
Yeah, it's a little more running, which isn't great. You know, it's all right. It's worth it. That's for sure.
Jake Cronenworth is with us. Jake, there was so much talk about your off season and how much effort and care you put into, you know, rebuilding things and making sure you came back and have a successful season. Looking back on, you know, this off season, what do you think was the main couple of things maybe that have helped you get going and get back to hitting like you can?
Yeah. I think it all started last year during the season, actually. You know, when I broke my wrist, I think I said it in spring training in an interview, you know, you never want your season to end with an injury, but, you know, at that point in time, obviously it stunk because I felt like I was really turning things around, but, you know, I think it was a blessing in disguise and, you know, had some time to really evaluate and kind of open up the hood of that car and really look at things and break some things down and put some new parts in there and, you know, some things I did in the off season was a lot of mindset and kind of how I carry myself at the plate and, you know, even before the game when I'm doing my research and, you know, kind of how I'm going to go up there and take my at-bats. And obviously there were some mechanical things in there as well. And not to say those aren't important because they absolutely are. But I think, you know, the mindset and the approach that I've kind of built throughout the off season and taken into the year is probably the biggest.
Jake, I think your opinion means a lot to a lot of fans, and I'm just curious what you think about the makeup of this year's team, what you've seen through 34 games, and, you know, some areas that you think might be a little bit different from the makeup of last year's team that will hopefully get this team to where it wants to go in October.
Yeah, I mean, first things first is, you know, we have a really, really good group. You know, everybody's pulling in the same direction from the coaching staff, front office, to the players on the field. And, you know, every guy wants to win. And, you know, obviously we're going to go through some tough times. We're going to go through some really good times. But I'll say, you know, I think if this team can get hot, this could be, you know, a really special run that we go on when it happens. And, you know, I think you've seen, you know, flashes of us, you know, down late, you know, 8-0 against the Cubs, you know, some of the comeback wins we've had against the Dodgers and some of the other teams that we played. I think you see that in the offense and on the pitching side, you know, man, both sides of the ball. You know, the quality at-bats that we're throwing up there, 1-9, and, you know, not just 1-9 in the order, but 1-9 in the innings, no matter what the situation is. And, you know, the biggest thing is we're just giving ourselves a chance to win and never giving up. And I think that's, you know, something that's huge for this group and we've really emphasized. And you know, the pitching side, you know, they've kept us in a lot of games, and you know, it's been really, really good so far.
Yeah, it's Jake Cronenworth's season's been great so far. I'll leave you with this one, Jake, and again, appreciate the time. And where were you, and how did you celebrate it when Harbaugh and company grabbed Michigan's national championship?
I was in Houston, row 15 on the goal line. At the game.
There's your where were you? What yard line?
I was right on the goal line.
Goal line. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I got pretty fortunate. They scored every single touchdown in our end zone that we were sitting in. All the interceptions were coming back our way. I think outside of one, but that was awesome to see. And, you know, going to all the games I've been to and, you know, seeing that happen in person was really, really cool.
All-time Michigan man, Jake Cronenworth, and a great Padre as well. Hey, Jake, thanks so much for the time. Good luck on this road trip. We'll see you back in San Diego soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
And we appreciate Jake Cronenworth. As mentioned, we had some technical issues. Tony was asking the questions. Jake couldn't hear them. We finally figured that out. But by the time we figured that out, about 10 minutes had gone by, and he was nice enough to hang with us. Those guys are pretty busy before games, honestly.
Yeah.
They have a lot to do. I know that people think they just sit around. Got a lot of video.
Meetings.
A lot of workouts. Meetings.
Yeah.
Et cetera. The game is the fun part for those guys.
Yeah, the game is where they get to go, like, not actually work.
Yeah, go out and play. Go play. They call it play baseball.
Play ball!
Play ball. So have some fun. All right, that was Jake Cronenworth, our Fryer Friday interview, and always appreciate Jake. I was thinking something during that interview.
Okay.
Is this crazy? You'd have to find a clip of our interviews with Bryce Miller, San Diego Union Tribune columnist.
Okay.
I think he and Jake Cronenworth sound alike. I think they have very similar deliveries, and I think their voices are similar.
I could see it.
All right. Well, I can hear it. I can't see it, but I can hear it.
I can hear it, but
so do a little, you know, study if you've got nothing else to do over there.
Get a
clip of Bryce Miller and a clip of Jake Cronenworth and see how similar they sound.
You know, that's the first thing on my off-season list.
Thing of your off-season.
Yes.
So we may get that sometime in November,
yeah.
Is what you're telling me?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Tony is he's hopped on the bus to head on over to the ballpark. So we'll hear from him a little bit later on in the program, but right now he's en route with the team and the players heading from the hotel there in Phoenix right on down to, I was going to say Bank One Ballpark, but that's old.
That's Bob, as they used to say, Bob.
Well, it's Chase Field now.
It's Chase Field, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hard for me to keep up. You know, there was a time when no stadiums were named after businesses.
I know, when Candlestick Park was Candlestick Park.
Yeah. Dodger Stadium is still Dodger Stadium, but now you can count on, you know, one hand basically the amount of ballparks and stadiums that only are
Yankee
named
stadium.
The actual stadium that they are. Yeah, Yankee Stadium.
Fenway.
The Rose Bowl is
Wrigley.
Still the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl is still the Rose Bowl.
I think although Wrigley in a roundabout way is a business name.
It's the gum.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if it was Phil Wrigley, but some guy named Wrigley.
Some guy named Wrigley.
I think it might have been Phil. I don't know where I got the Phil part from, but yeah, the Wrigley people who own the Cubs had the gum too.
I mean, how much money is Yankee Stadium missing out on? I don't know if they have it's Yankee Stadium at Hal Steinbrenner Field or something like that.
Yeah, but it's not there's no stadium name for it. You know, the first place ever to be named and have a name licensing agreement was the old Buffalo Football Stadium, which was named Rich Stadium.
Rich Stadium.
And Rich is a big food company in the Northeast. And they paid like $100 to have their name on the stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before anybody else got the idea to do something like that.
Good for them.
Arco Arena in Sacramento was among the first, as was the Great Western Forum for the Lakers and Kings.
Great Western, a bank?
It was a bank, yes. Great Western Forum kind of had a good ring to it, actually, I felt.
Yeah, no, it sounds...
It actually sounded
all right.
It rolls
off the tongue. It's better than some of these
A lot
ones.
Of them don't roll off the tongue at all in any way, shape, or form, but now we've come to get, you know, expect it. That's just the way it goes.
You know, I'm looking at some of the stadiums without naming rights, and it's kind of funny. Oakland Alameda County Coliseum is still... It's right now no naming rights, I don't believe.
What is it?
It was... McAfee Stadium when the Raiders played there.
I do remember there being some sort of business name when the Raiders were there.
The Warriors played at Oracle, which was next door to
the
Coliseum.
The Warriors play in San Francisco now,
do they not? Yes, they do.
I mean, Oakland basically is kind of, once the A's do officially pack up and go, that leaves Oakland barren, basically,
See,
right?
Adam and I were having this conversation, and yes, it does, but the Warriors are just a BART ride away. You can get to watch a Warriors game from Oakland in 30 minutes.
So
I understand the Oakland pride of having the team there. I get all that. But
I think they're okay because they can still see their team.
At least they have a game nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Oh, Camden Yards, Oriole Park, that's another one.
Camden Yards.
Or
not
Camden Yard, I'm sorry.
It is Camden Yard at Oriole Park.
I guess so. We also have Nationals Park.
Nationals Park is not named?
That's what it says according to this website. Okay. Angel Stadium, I don't know if they've named that recently.
All right. So we do have more than a handful. We have two hands full.
Yes.
Of stadiums that are not named.
Yes, this article is from 2020, but...
So there's a chance that a couple of them have
let
been...
Let me see if Angel Stadium's up, been named.
Picked up sponsors in the meantime.
It could have, but yes, as of 2020, that was it.
Have you ever gone to... have you ever bought or gone to a service, you know, a business, because they had a name on a stadium? I don't think we do that, but the advertising works because... The name gets out there, and then when you're familiar with the name when you do go to do business.
Yes,
You would do business at Chase Bank just because you've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know what I mean?
It's on the stadium. It's got to be okay.
It's got to be a real bank. Yeah. So
I used to wonder
about advertising, like stuff like that. You pay Joe Namath $1 million to use, you know, some sort of shaving kit.
See, I'm more willing to use a product.
I never went out and bought that shaving kit just because Joe Namath did.
I'm more willing to use a product that someone reps if I like that person. So the stadium naming rights doesn't really get to me. Because when I was growing up, it was Candlestick Park, then it was 3Com, and then it was Monster Park. And then
really?
It was
I don't even remember some of those iterations.
Yeah, it was all these weird companies.
Yeah.
Tyler says, I still don't know what a Snapdragon is.
It's
a processor.
I don't know what a Snapdragon is either, but I know it's related to Qualcomm.
Yes, it's a processor, Snapdragon.
A processor?
Yeah, it goes in your phones and stuff.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know what a processor is, so I guess we have to name our next stadium Processor Stadium.
It's a microchip?
All right, the Gwynn and Chris program.
The Processor Stadium.
The SD Fat Loss Gwynn and Chris program continues in just a moment with our Daily Gambit. Check in on some winners and losers in hour number 2. Stick around.